Thank you, Bassam, and thank all of the panelists for their comments. And it's unfortunate that we had to squeeze people. And as a professor, I would say this is a semester seminar. We should be here for a lot longer. But I don't have but about 10 more minutes before John will start punching me in my right rib cage. So let me go quickly to questions. I have a couple. I'm going to read them. They're a bit different. These are aimed at Dr. Kerala, and I'll let you address them both. One is relates to your comments about Hezbollah and its resistance status. And I think the point of this question is, don't some of these actions, such as Hezbollah actions, such as turning its weapons against the people of Lebanon last May, shooting down a Lebanese helicopter, or continued resistance after the UN has certified that Israel has withdrawn, don't these actions undermine Hezbollah's resistance status? And secondly, if the explicit sectarian government of Lebanon is to blame for, quote, absence of a state, should the Lebanese constitution be reconsidered and possibly amended?
Okay. We should agree on one thing. It is an abnormal presence that you have an armed presence within a state, within a country, that functions independently. It is incompatible with the normal functioning of the state. But there ought to be a state functioning as a state. Hezbollah represents a group, and I said a few words about how it came into existence. Now it feels that as long as there is a threat to me, and there could be all kinds of considerations now with the relations with the political environment, whether Syria, Iran, or beyond, Hezbollah feels that I need to keep this, my arms, to be able to defend myself and people who have been threatened in South Lebanon since 1948, since the war of independence, it calls it Israel, and the receiving of waves of Palestinians into Lebanon. Since that time, some villages at the borders between Lebanon and Syria, villagers could not leave their homes after dark. This is since 48. So these people feel now that I have a sense of security. I am the master of my destiny, and there is no state to take my place to protect me. Why do they stay in this status? Because the state does not. And why did they use their weapons against other Lebanese? Because there was a threat to take away these weapons. This is the occasion that has caused them to react. They had not reacted. They were not involved in the civil war in a sense, in a sectarian sense. On the contrary, some villages were fairly protected. Now, with respect to whether or not a constitution need to be changed, yes, it does, if we are to substitute to this dysfunctional sectarian system, substitute a modern, democratic, secular system. This would require constitutional amendments, and this would require the emergence of a new culture that everyone should work on in propagating and instilling in the people.
Thank you very much. I have a question here for Ambassador. And this has to do with talks between you or and Israel under Turkey. It says the discussions between Syria and Israel through Turkey, are they serious? If so, what are the major issues to be resolved?
That's a big question. I will try to answer it in as shortly as possible. First, I need to thank you for saying Syria and Israel. My dear friend Bassam here mentioned Israel 7 times, but whenever he will mention Syria, he will say the Syrian regime. Okay. As you all know, Syria has never changed its position for the past 20 years. We have said, yes, we want to make peace with Israel, based on the fair principle of land for peace. Israel will give us back our occupied territories in return for peace. And of course, without going into the details and the singular tracks that are taking place right now, but also the Pan-Arab Peace initiative that was flatly rejected by the Israelis for the past 4 years. Now things might be changing. We don't know, but this is too early to judge. And for the past 5 years, Syria has invited Israel time and again, publicly on the record, to restart peace talks. And Israel was refusing to do this based on the following pretext. I know you will say this is preposterous, but that was the Israeli pretext. We would love to restart peace talks with Syria. It serves our national interest, but we can't do this because the Bush administration is fiercely opposing any peace talks between Syria and Israel. Of course, whoever will come and tell us this on behalf of the Israelis, we will always have one simple answer. Come on, we don't believe this. We understand what Israel is. Clearly, when Israel wants to start peace talks with Syria, the last thing in the world they will care for is the opposition of the White House. It's the other way around. Without going also into much ado about this, suddenly, out of the blue, the Israelis decided to change their position. The Turks, our close friends, came to us and told us that the Israelis, after 5 years of opposing peace talks between Syria and Israel, have changed their mind and they want to restart peace talks. Now, in the past, this is not the first round of peace talks between Syria and Israel. In the past, twice, we sat with the Israelis and we tried to achieve peace based on international legitimacy, United Nations Security Council resolutions, and the principle of land for peace. Yitzhak Rabin in the past has put it in writing, saying that he is willing to withdraw to the line of June 4, 1967 in exchange for full peace with Syria. He put this in writing and he deposited this with President Clinton. You can read this in Clinton's biography. It has been called, since that time, the Rabin deposit. So in the past, twice we negotiated with the Israelis all the details, all the intricacies of such a peace agreement. When we will reach the point of the borders markup, the peace talks will collapse. This time, instead of wasting time, energy, and resources, we told the Turks, let us start with indirect talks in Istanbul. Let the Israelis come, we will come, you will mediate between us. If we agree that the peace talks will be based on the return of all Syrian occupied territories back to the line of June 4, 1967, then if we understand that they are willing to do this, then why not? We can start peace talks. But start peace talks and spend a long time negotiating all the details. And then when it is time to agree on the withdrawal line, they will say, well, we don't want this, we want that. Let us not raise expectations and then dash them again. Let us be clear about this. Without going into details of what has happened in Istanbul, I can assure you that the three first rounds of talks were mostly on the positive side. And in our understanding, at least for the while, Ehud Olmert was willing in a serious way to consider a full withdrawal to the line of June 4, 1967. Now, as you know, because of purely domestic political issues in Israel, these peace talks have stopped now. They didn't stop because of a problem between the Syrians and the Israelis. They stopped because of the political scene in Israel. The Turks are telling us that once Israel will settle these issues and once they will know who will be their next prime minister, they will resume their role of brokering peace talks between Syria and Israel. Historically, it used to be the United States of America that will broker peace talks between Syria and Israel. The United States did not only forfeit this role, actually they changed into a position of opposing peace talks between Syria and Israel. I'll stop here.
Thank you very much, sir. I have a question for Bassam. Bassam, given your comments about America's policy, is there no hope with the election change of administrations for a change that you would consider positive?
The short answer is no. As far as I'm concerned, there might be, as you hear on the news and an analysis about Barack Obama, for instance, if he is the to be president, that there might be a change in style. But there's also pressure to actually deflect some of the anticipated courses of action by Obama or some of the anticipated changes that will end up pushing Obama more to the right. So I do not see a substantive change if Obama is elected. And clearly with McCain, it's not an issue to begin with.
Thank you. I apologize to many of you. I have some wonderful, good questions, but I think we need to say to our panelists, thank you very, very much for your presentations.